Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Indeed.
Indeed we are. How are you?
Indeed. I have the wine, so it's looking up. Things are looking up.
It is a weekend, so huzzah!
Right?
That color looks so pretty on you.
This?
Yes.
Oh, I slept in this. Thank you.
I slept in this.
This old thing?
Well, we have a letter this week that I really enjoyed getting, and it's a little bit unusual, so I'm going to read it. Hi, ladies. About 10 years ago, I met a woman at a temp job. Her name was Diane. I was a temp in a union workplace where temps were not welcomed, and I had a lot of trouble fitting in. But Diane always made me feel welcomed and went out of her way to chat with me often. We found we had a lot in common and became close. After I left the company, we remained friends. My husband and I moved several states away a few years later, and Diane and I remained close, frequently talking and visiting whenever I had the chance to go home. Financial and physical constraints meant she couldn't come to where I live, but she always made time for me when I was home, and me her. Last fall, she had a limb replaced. Did she now?
Yeah, that's a lot.
A limb replaced. Maybe a joint replaced?
It could have been a limb.
Do they do limb replacements now?
Well, no, it's probably a joint. Okay. You're right.
We're not there yet.
Okay. We're not medically there yet.
I don't think we are, but, you know, if she had her limb replaced, God bless and good luck. But she had something replaced. And I volunteered to stay with her for a week after her surgery to help her out. I understand that people are not at their best after a big operation like she had, in the middle of a gory and painful recovery, but the way she treated me during that time made me lose a lot of respect for her, and I'm having trouble picking up where we left off and remembering what she was like and what our relationship was like before the surgery. I find myself uninterested in our online chats, hesitant to get together in real life when the opportunity arises, and generally resentful of the time I spend with her, as well as bored and uninterested in what's going on with her, although I ask questions and try to check in and draw her out. She has a therapist and other quasi-professionals, like an herbalist and a naturopath, to help her out, but they don't seem to be able to do much, and her life hasn't changed much since her mobility has improved. It doesn't help that, if anything, she has become even more self-centered than she was before, expressing almost no interest in me and my life. She doesn't appear to notice any change in my demeanor, for what it's worth. I feel like I'm just there to be an audience to her continued misery. I thought I just needed a break from her, but nowadays I feel like that break could be very long indeed. I don't want to cut her out of my life, but I was wondering if you could help me find a way to appreciate the good things about her and find a way forward in our friendship. Thanks so much. Signed, audience member. What do you think, Joss?
I'm going to say for sure she did not have a limb replaced. For sure, because I'm trying to think if I've read any articles about that kind of medical miracle happening. And no, I haven't. So for sure not. And her recovery sounds pretty quick. And since I've had a joint replacement, that makes sense to me. I will also say this friend sounds like she's not doing so well. Even with the joint replacement, she sounds like she's having a hard time mental health-wise. And I can relate. It's not easy to have a joint replacement. It feels like, well, it felt like to me like I was getting super old. Mm. Like all of a sudden, you know, I'd broken a hip and that's it. I'm done. And so I wonder, have you talked to her about maybe getting some mental health help or something like that. I mean, I know you're feeling sort of impatient with her at the moment, but when I was going through something very similar, it was really hard to reconcile. And I was fairly young when I had my joint replacement. Yeah. So it was hard to reconcile what was happening to me with who I thought I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be this, whatever it was. I think I was 38, this 38-year-old. And then instead I felt like I was 90, and it was hard. Right. It was really hard. And I did feel sorry for myself. So I wonder if you, friend, audience, could maybe suggest some therapy for her, because it sounds like you have a little bit of compassion fatigue.
And I think addressing it head on the way you suggested, Joss, is the way to go. To say, since your joint replacement, I've noticed this and that and the other thing. And I'm sure it's very difficult. Maybe you could list some of the reasons that Joss just discussed. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm the best person to help you with that. You know, mm-hmm. I'm your friend. I'm not your therapist. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think just sort of calling attention to what she's doing, which is misery dumping on you, is going to be the first step. You didn't mention the good things about her. You said you wanted to appreciate the good things about her and find a way forward. But I don't really know what those good things are. So it's hard for us to
list anything.
It's hard for us to give you advice on how to draw out those good things, because other than making time for you, we didn't really get a lot of detail there. And so that is going to be something you'll have to look at, about what were the times when your friendship really worked. What were you doing? What were you talking about? And you said, you know, she doesn't notice you. She's not asking about you. I would suggest that for one, if you want to tell her something about your life, state that. Say, it's so good to talk to you. Great to see you again. I have something I want to discuss with you, something that's been going on. It's, you know, my sister, my mother, my job, my marriage, whatever it is. And just kind of announce, like, this is a topic I would like to discuss with you, my friend of many years. Kind of grab the mic, as it were. If that's not the case, if you maybe are at the point where you don't want to have to force your issue into the conversation, you might kind of start rebuilding by remembering some of your common interests. Like, maybe at this point, do you read the same books? Do you watch the same television show? Are you both into meditation or cooking? And kind of bring those into the discussion. Because I know it's very frustrating when you're waiting for someone to say, and how are you? Tell me about your job and your life. And I learned that your cousin died recently. How's that going for you? You know, when you're waiting for them to pick up on it, you get more and more frustrated because they're not. So kind of bring in some of those mutual things that are maybe less contentious, rather than saying, like, I posted that my cousin died and you didn't even notice. More like, hey, why don't we read this book and talk about it next time we have a chat? One of my friends and I will sometimes suggest that we both love the same kind of podcast. And we'll say, like, let's listen to this. And then the next time we talk, we can talk about it. And that's always really fun.
I like that idea. I like the idea, too, that maybe you could find something on Netflix to help distract her. So that's something that you guys could be watching. And there are so many fun things to be watching on Netflix at the moment. I started something called Mer People.
Oh, my God.
About
you
mermaiding.
Made me watch an episode. But just once again, what's it about, Joss?
It's about mer people. Mer people.
And what do they do for a living?
It's about making... They make a career out of mermaiding. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. It's wonderful. And honestly, it will take your mind off of whatever your troubles are.
If you guys can't have a fascinating conversation about mer people, then the friendship is over.
I agree.
Joss made me watch some of this too, and so I got in about maybe 15 minutes, and I'm like, I can't, I don't know if I can do this. The opening scene, however, was so funny because all these mer people are entertaining children at a children's party. So what they do is they put on tails and they swim underwater and they pretend to be mermaids and then they pop up to the surface and they're all like screaming from the chlorine in their eyes.
Yes, I know. It's like burning their eyes.
And they're at the eye wash station and they're sobbing and, you know, it's like, listen, you think you know what it is?
They go through something.
You think you know what it is to be a mermaid, but you don't.
You don't have a clue. They go in depth, and these mermaid folk,
merfolk.
They go through a lot of things that, you know, the constant ear infections, sinus infections.
Just and the fitness it's not like, and athleticism that they need to bring to the
And
game.
The athleticism. To me, it was very fascinating where these people are getting the money for those tails. The tails can be $5,000, folks.
Incredible. And, you know, some of them look really beautiful. It is kind of mesmerizing to watch them in action. Okay, so if you can't talk about mer people, the friendship is dead. but I did also, audience, I did want to say, is it time to let the friendship go? Because you came together over a job. You had a great relationship that grew out of a job. It seemed like it sustained itself really well outside of that incubator. But maybe the changes in her life with illness or, you know, the joint issues or the limb issues, that is a lot. And certainly maybe she needs some time alone. You know, if all she's doing is telling you how miserable her life is, maybe it's time for you to let that break go on a very long time that might last forever. It might be time for the slow fade. And you are the only one who can decide that. If it's time for that, then you'll know it. If you think, no, there is a lot of good here, I want to just get back in touch with that, then follow our suggestions and see how that goes.
Yeah.
But I never want to underestimate the power of direct and honest, compassionate communication. For you to say, I've noticed lately that you are really down on these topics and that most of our time together is spent, you know, talking about your disappointments in this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, I'm worried about you and I'm concerned that's not you. So are you getting the help that you need? I'm your friend, but I'm not your therapist. And, you know, have you thought about kind of your mental health and your state of mind these days? I think, coming from a place of love and friendship and a friendship that has historically been good, I think it will be well received. And if it's not, that tells you some more about the friendship and its longevity prospects.
And then you can make your ultimate decision, right?
Yeah.
And you can say, all right, maybe it is time for the slow fade or whatever.
Right. And, you know, I just want to say also, you sound like such a good friend because you are willing to go into this and spend some time sussing it out, and because of the value that she's brought to your life. So good for you. You sound like a nice person, and we're rooting for you, and we really want to know how that goes for you.
Yeah.
All right. So, Joss, it's been a while since our readers sent us an embarrassing personal problem.
And we have been full of grace and elegance for so long now.
Very difficult for us to bring out embarrassing personal problems. Although I will say, I'm here on Cape Cod. I'm working on a book. I have to leave my home in order to get the 10 hours a day of focus that I need. And when I'm away from home, I tend to not shower, not dress in anything other than pajamas. And then yesterday, I was, you know, I'm like in the middle of this writing stint, and I thought, like, it's a beautiful day. I'm supposed to get outside. My doctor told me I need to get 10 minutes of sunshine a day. So I grabbed some weed killer and I was wandering around my yard in a t-shirt and pajama bottoms with a can of Roundup. And then I saw
looking
my,
wonderful.
Right? And, you know, my hair, glorious. And, you know, there was like hardly any Cheeto dust around my lips. And my neighbor, I have several lovely neighbors up here in our little neighborhood in the Cape, but one of them is very judgy. And she came down the street in her car, which I recognize, and I hid. I hid in behind this big bush that's in our yard. And as she drove, we have a corner lot. And as she drove around the corner, I just sort of like inched around. So leaving the bush between her and me, because I was just like, I don't want to discuss it. And I don't want you to see me and judge me. It's bad enough already. So, but we did get one finally from you people, you listeners. And yes. she writes in, hi, ladies. I'm catching up on all the episodes of your podcast and notice so many poop stories for your EPPs. When it works, we don't change it, okay?
Why? Why?
So I thought I'd mix it up with a very embarrassing non-poopy story. In my 20s, I lived and volunteered in Thailand. In the course of my work, I fell in love with another volunteer, and we ended up working together and falling in love all at the same time. We were so young, so passionate, and we were going to change the world together. She uses a lot of exclamation points. We had a project.
I see.
We had a project for a few weeks in the Philippines. We were in Mindanao, one of the most impoverished regions of the country, and visited many nonprofit and community development projects, sleeping in villages and churches along the way. About 2 weeks later, we were back in Thailand and had some vacation time. I was so excited because my boyfriend, Koi, was going to take me to his hometown and introduce me to his whole family. The week before, I had some strange pinching pains on my head, and I was a little bit itchy now and then. I asked Koi to please take a look. Was there anything on my head? He looked but said nothing was there, so I ignored it for another week or so. It was a long journey by bus, and somewhere along the last leg, I scratched my head, and when I looked at my fingers, I saw a black bug about the size of a grain of rice wriggling under my fingernail. Ah, disgusting. Oh, my God, I had lice. Suddenly, like an end-of-life flashback, I thought of all the situations in the Philippines that I had basically ignored the concerns for hygiene. The rehab project for male prostitutes where they taught men to cut their hair where I got my hair cut and laughingly encouraged my stylist when she dropped the comb on the floor. The night we slept on the floor of a corrugated steel shack and I could see the snout of the family's pig under the gap in the wall. So cute, pigs. Did I mention how idealistic and cool we were? Nothing could touch us, obviously. Back to Thailand. There was no escape. The family was going to meet us at the bus station, and there was an elaborate family dinner, meet and greet, planned for me. My boyfriend was not concerned. He reassured me his mom was a nurse and would know what to do. His dad was a bank manager. Mom, the head nurse of labor and delivery of the hospital. People who definitely would appreciate good hygiene. And here I rolled up, rumpled after an overnight bus ride with lice squirming on my scalp. They were unbelievably gracious. His mom took me to the pharmacy to get the delousing equipment and medicine, and then I wrestled in the bathroom alone for over an hour as I pulled plump louse after plump louse from my long, curly hair and killed or flushed about 50 of them. When I emerged, we had a lovely, though somewhat awkward dinner, and they politely pretended not to be horrified by the dirty, louse-ridden foreign girl their son had brought home. I knew enough Thai to know that Rong Ram, hotel, was mentioned by relatives at the gathering, but Koi's parents let me sleep there in their home, and I will never forget their kindness. Signed, lousy girlfriend. That's awesome.
You win it all.
Thank you for our first ever louse embarrassing personal problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's a super amazing achievement.
And now I'm running my fingers through my hair.
Me too. But this EPP is right up there with the woman who shat in a bag. Do you remember that woman? Do you remember her?
Oh, I'll never forget her.
Right up there. This is an achievement. You should be proud of yourself. I mean, you can tell people that your story about your louse, your delousing, is right up there with a story about a woman who shat in a grocery bag.
Yes.
And left it on the kitchen counter.
And I may well have to use this in a book going forward. So as a writer, I thank you. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever. Forever.